Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus and I welcome you to the Age of Heroes. On today's episode of the Elysium Project, I'm honored to have the legendary Bill Waitman. Greetings and welcome, Bill. How are you?
It's a pleasure. I'm glad to be here. I was just talking to my guest there about what a day it's been. I don't know if I'm going to have the agency come on, but I invited an agency, a woman's agency in Trenton. I tried, you know, now organizations and everything else. But I think it's an important subject. I hope they do show up.
I hope so, too. If anybody shows up, I'll check to see who they are, and I'll let you know if they called in.
I called the governor, and his office said they couldn't do it. You know, people in his office said, yeah, we can do it. Then all of a sudden, the governor's people came on and said we couldn't do it. I mean, I started with, police patrols in the building or in the state housing and worked its way up, but went nowhere. But I'm still interested in what's going on in New Jersey and America. And my guests probably, too.
As are we all. I will open the door for your guests, and you can introduce them, and I'll be here in case you need me.
Okay. I forgot his name, which is in disgrace. So can you give us your name and your background? Hello?
Yeah, sure. My name's Javier Luque.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I am closely associated with shootings. I'm a regional ambassador for New Jersey Independent Voters for my area here in Hasbrook Heights. I've been active since 2018, and just recently we did some work at my town street fair. You know, we're doing surveys for prospective and current active voters in regards to the current state of affairs at the federal level. And
keep going.
We'll be doing that as well again in September for Town Day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've been independent my whole life. I never wanted to associate with a political party. And, you know, also learning from the words of our forefathers about the dangers of partisanship in government and political parties as a whole.
You know what I'm going to give you a little story, and it involves a congressman and a U.S. senator, not a U.S., a state of New Jersey senator. I needed her help with a young man who's my grandson. He was put in by a family member into two institutions that are horrible. And with his help and our help, we got him out. Now we're fighting a battle that they're trying to put him in deep South Jersey when he's actually talking a bit and everything else. I went to a congressman very close to you, a male congressman, and much closer to Hercules, who's listening in, and he didn't want to get bothered. You know, I thought his whole image was getting involved. He's a Democrat. Sometimes you run against, in both parties, you run against people that are not really what they are. And I was hurt thinking that I could get some help out of him. But that's the way the cracker rolls, I guess, or chews or whatever. So I admire your work. I've always been a proponent of, like, what goes on in New York City. They always had, like, four parties, liberal, a conservative, and then the two other parties. And I remember one year, maybe before we were born, maybe even before Hercules, a guy named Lindsay got the independent vote. And I think it was the second time around. And he was elected, mayor of New York City. Everybody thought a Democrat would get that line for those extra votes. But he got it. And that's where politics... maybe that's what we need. First of all, I'm getting off topic, but I don't know how you feel about this, but I think we need more parties, you know, of different backgrounds. What's your take
on that? Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, recent national pollsters have been, you know, the rates have been climbing high since like 2016. It was used to be between upper 40, upper 50%. Now it's gone up to about near 60%. Just recently, The Hill posted a story over this. That if hypothetically Biden and Trump spar again, there would be a good number of disenfranchised people who would actually support an independent unity ticket. There's this column that was written by Nancy Jacobson, who works for the nonpartisan organization No Labels, and which deeply, clearly just describes the dissatisfaction with between the American voter and the current federal government. Here's the exact number is 58% of voters are open to backing a independent candidate if they ever see again a Trump-Biden 2024 scenario.
It's conceivable that he could be voted out, and I'm wondering if even Trump will be in the game, because he's got so many things. I hate to see the governor of Florida jump in. But in that case, I would hope for a good independent candidate.
Yeah, it's still too early to tell right now, because now Newsweek has posted a column that they're saying again that it's going to be highly, highly likely that Biden and Trump could be facing each other again. But it's just it's still too early in the game here to decide, because now, you know, you have Ron DeSantis, you know, rising up in numbers, and so it's all a toss of the dice right now. But overall, you know, people have been really unhappy with how Congress is working.
Something that broke from a congressman in the Warren County area and south. He's a Democrat. A new startup Republican Party has endorsed him. I forget what they are. Republican, you know, they might have been the Republicans that campaigned the last time, but he will get votes out of that organization. I don't know how big it is. And I forgot it. He had a full page ad in the New York Times for an op-ed. He's running against a former governor's son, not a great state senator, but one who's jumped on the boat of the crazies. He's one of their. Hold on. I don't know why that happened. Music just starts at an open. So that's the thing that, you know. I like to see things like that where, you know, in New York
Bill,
style.
We're losing your sound.
I think
Bill?
This year there will be, this particular candidate will have two lines. And I think that's a good thing. And I think along the way, I think more independent voters need to get involved in the system and help change this system. Because this system, I lost faith in the Congress. He just blew me off. And today,
Bill,
we're
losing
control
sound.
Of my grandson.
Bill?
And a relative has been fighting back to take him away from us. And they probably will. And that's sad because they had him hidden away about 80 miles away from Sussex County. And I find that unfair. And I know there's probably people listening that have gone through the same thing. It's usually seniors, it's senior citizens or whatever, that take over the role of raising those kids. And he's come around. But that's how politics works the wrong way. So I went to the governor today, and he blew me down. He says he couldn't do anything. I went to other agencies, and they blew me down. I actually asked for another agency, I think it was DCS, to come on tonight. I don't see them. I know Hercules probably doesn't have them on the thing. It's one of the problems, because agencies and groups and organizations, I tried every, especially now, I tried a bunch of now organizations. I think the people are out to lunch. There's nobody home. I think they're doing their work from home. And that's the problem. You got to get out there. And I'm not talking about from the independent vote, or I think that's a great idea. But I think too many people are sitting
And many of these politicians are just sitting themselves. It's an easy race. One gets elected, maybe the other one. It's rare that things are changed. And you guys, Sue, you, and others are doing something to change that. I'm sounding like a street corner. tied to the other corner. What do you have to think about all that, what I just said? Hello?
Yeah?
Hello?
Yes, I can hear
Hello?
You. Yeah, it's a pretty long story right there. I got a little lost here, but as I was saying, your story is somewhat of an example of what, how dysfunctional things have become around our country. It's, you know, it's all because of power grabbing from both parties. It's now to the point that even the most faithful are rolling out a false equivalence theory to furthermore increase their hyperpartisan gains, which is just definitely not good. We can take an example here of Don Lemon, CNN journalist. There was actually, you know, I don't look at Fox News for news sources, but we don't know if this is actually legitimate. But there's speculation that Don Lemon, a CNN anchor, is telling his journalists no full sense of equivalency between Republicans and Democrats. And what that really means is cheerlead one side, demonize the other, no matter what the blue team does. And, you know, the false equivalence is actually a fallacy, you know. They say Republicans are the only ones that suppress the vote, but that's absolutely false. Democrats proclaim themselves to be champions of democracy, and, you know, they suppress the votes, especially in the form of shuttering primaries to independent voters.
Yes.
And just recently here in the Garden State, both chambers in the State House near unanimously passed a legislation, very controversial legislation, that literally the DNC declaring hostility towards unaffiliated voters. This is known as A3820 S2869 is a legislation that would phase out absentee ballots for primaries, and instead,
oh my God,
independents will be sent a party affiliation form, which definitely means they must either pledge their allegiance to either the Republican or Democratic parties of that state in order to participate in a primary that's not even legally belongs to them. It is a public primary. It is paid for by us New Jerseyans and even us, you know, federally. And they somehow are controlling these primaries, and there is no constitutional, you know, regulation that, you know, gives them that power. And what technically it means, it's literally a big middle finger to unaffiliated voters who are, you know, definitely, you know, very important in the midterms, presidential race, and even our gubernatorial elections. It's going to literally shutter 2.4 million in New Jersey from, you know, even participating. It is a really nasty message. It's technically saying, we don't give a crap about you. We don't need you. We want your loyalty in exchange for a right to vote, which is technically voter suppression. And yet, behind the scenes,
yes,
they're out there yapping that only the Republicans are the ones that suppress the vote. And yet, behind the scenes,
yep,
the New Jersey Democratic Committee and the DNC are out silencing independent voters. This is definitely a law that deserves to be challenged, you know, in a court of law. And definitely, we independents or anyone who feels that they're disfranchised should put the pressure on Phil Murphy to actually veto this bill. It may not be a guarantee that things may go our way, even if Governor Murphy vetoes the bill, because the chances are that if he does veto the bill, it's going to go, you know, to a possible override.
I don't understand him, and I agree with you. I mean, I used to go to the meetings of the independents in New York at the university downtown. It was downtown. I remember the woman that was the president of the organization, and she was pushing a lot of things to hopefully change that. But it's going to take a long time to change. And you're right, there has to be court, some kind of court process to change this. Because we need to have everybody vote as high as we can. I mean, I don't know what our voting margin is in the U.S. compared to other countries, but I suspect, first of all, democracies are disappearing across the world. I mean, we've had problems in some Asian countries, and even in Europe, there's problems, especially with Ukraine and some of the outliers there, too. We need to make changes that people can participate and should participate and have the ability to pick a party or an organization at different times. Maybe there's a need for an independent political party, you know, where there really are people that are independent, you know, and get out there and make changes. Because most people believe that we don't have a stake in this, or, you know, we're at the bottom of the barrel. A lot of people are leaving work. Some of those people leaving work are leaving for higher work. But America doesn't reach out to all people. It should. All people are equal. I mean, that's from Lincoln, from Jefferson, even if he has a bloody eye there. He said it well in his Declaration of Independence. I agree with you 100%. I've run as an independent candidate once with help of all places, Hackensack and some places that really weren't in my area. But they helped come up here, put up these things, and they were independents. You know, that's the way it should be. People have a right to be different, to have values that may differ, have opinions that differ. It's crazy. I'm sorry. I'm too wound up tonight. Tell me more.
You know, your words are why there is a case for open primaries and instant voting. Not just in New Jersey, but around the country, you know. Congressman Don Beyer, not long ago, proposed what's called the Fair Representation Act, it's a legislation that if it ever became law, it would actually be one big step towards changing the way our government runs, because what this law does is it would give the House of Representatives a makeover by changing the single district seats into what will be a multi-member district representation. So, for example, instead of, you know, 12 single districts in the state of New Jersey, we would have, you know, either three main districts with four representatives each, or four major districts with three representatives each. And along with that, they'll also establish an independent redistricting committee, which would mean that gerrymandering will no longer be determined by the political parties and party bosses, but by the people themselves. And then the other important thing about this proposed legislation is that it would also enact ranked choice voting across every state. And for now, it's somewhat stalled. Somewhat stalled or to be determined, but I think that we should put the pressure on our House of Representatives to actually bring back this conversation of the Fair Representation Act, which is actually somewhat very important step to depolarize the political environment that we're in right now. And of course, you know, we should also look up to Alaska. For the first time here, you know, their special election and their midterm election, we're going to see a top four primary with ranked choice voting. The top four have already been determined to advance in November. And what this is very important because it's just one big open primary, meaning you can pick whoever you want to pick in the first round, and then in the top four advances to general election. And what this does is that regardless of party, the candidate now has to learn how to hold themselves accountable and speak to almost every single person in the electorate, not just, you know, their treehouse club. That would mean
if
there were, you know, Alaska, you know, example, you know, Lisa Murkowski is going to have to not just speak to Republicans. She's going to have to speak to independents. She's going to have to speak to disenfranchised Democrats. She's going to have to speak to even, you know, disenfranchised third partisans in order to earn that vote. It's going to put the pressure on candidates to actually start going line by line and page by page to actually say that they deserve, you know, a seat in the Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And rather than the current system, which emboldens and empowers hyper-partisanship, it empowers, exceptionalistic partisan allegiance. You know, I think that every one of us should learn from Alaska. Wisconsin, it's almost, you know, in its final steps in legislating a top five primary with ranked choice voting. It's still to be determined. And in some other states that, you know, the battle's still ongoing to, you know, put referendums in regards to this, you know, very important reform here. And New Jersey, of course, you know, where we've been, of course, barricaded by this new controversial legislation that is, that's in the governor's desk. It's still to be determined, but I'd really recommend every New Jerseyan, you know, regardless of party, to put the pressure on Phil Murphy and say, veto this bill, veto A3820, because this is just blatant voter suppression. It's going to make the political environment here much worse than it is right now. And, you know, and this is also a very bad timing because the midterms are around the corner, and it's definitely a big turnoff and a big mistake what the New Jersey Democratic Committee is doing to unaffiliated voters, especially when both parties are trying to juggernaut unaffiliated voters to, you know, swing the electoral fate, as I would say it. And, you know, 79% of voters, you know, they're deeply dissatisfied with the government. It's recent polls here. And almost about, like, near that range, you know, on the national level, the polls are saying we're on the wrong track.
We are definitely right.
And the younger generation that I'm in, you know, the numbers are much higher in dissatisfaction, especially with the category of the economy. But, you know, of course, they must also realize that this two-party system is not working for them and that there is supposed to be, you know, more representation in, you know,
well, that's right.
in both chambers of the federal Congress, as well as, you know, representation here in, you know, state and local governments. And currently right now, the system itself, it's favoring negatively the two parties, you know.
Let me give you an example, because we think of partisanship. I know a Democratic state senator and a Republican state senator. One has a construction company, and the other one helps get the roads, you know. I think they go overboard. I like to see some slap down, but we have a lot of road building up here because we got a lot of New Yorkers now moving up here, and I'm going to sound like an angry guy, but they drive like crazy, and they cut you off and everything else. I mean, the New York model intrigues me. It gives an opportunity for people to pick choices. I remember when the Republican mayor wound up being, you know, went for a higher office. And it gives other people a change, a vote. And it allows, because up here, it's in some cases, it can be dangerous up here, the politics. And we only have, I'm going to say, we have maybe 2,500 African American people. I worry about them in this voting system, because sometimes I hear and see things that don't please me. I'm not talking about the African Americans. I'm talking about some of the whites here. It's almost like we're below the Mason-Dixon line. I want you to go on some more. I was intrigued by those statistics. Hello?
Yeah, I'm just trying to skim through here because I've been reading a lot of articles related to this with the numbers, but overall, the cry for more representation has just been getting louder and louder, and it seems that both parties are clutching their pearls right now because
yes,
they know that if more independents end up gaining seats in the House and the Senate, there's going to be a big shaking there, and they don't want that. I don't know what kind of power grab are they holding on to. What's the point of just power grabbing until you can't no more? But voices of change are getting louder and louder. I just found the article here from The Hill, which was written by Nancy Jacobson. It's an opinion column. The title is called "2024 Surprise You Can See Coming," in which, of course, we see the hypothetical scenario of two bad candidates picked again by the two parties. One of the recent polls, Harvard Harris, that's the poll that says if the former president, Donald Trump, gets the nomination and if Biden also, wins, that's when people are going to be like, that's it, enough, we're going to, give this independent unity ticket a shot here because, we can't have this anymore.
It's too bizarre. I mean, we're going nowhere in the economy. Biden had some good ideas, but they don't seem to be going anywhere. I don't know if it's the Congress or whatever. Our foreign policy, I don't know. I hate to talk about it, but, if you go to Europe, it looks like everybody's in some kind of cubicle hiding. I mean, the Western countries are lacking oil, and Russia's cracking down on oil. Oil becomes a big commodity. But when do our parties and our people start moving to new technologies? I mean, this is going to sound crazy, and you've already heard it, but the UK is now listed as one of the hottest places in the world, and not for quality, but for overall temperature change and everything else that's going. We're not even meeting the challenges that were supposed to be done 30 years ago.
The big reason is right here. You look at the current partisan system. The current partisan system literally normalizes and even de facto legalizes bribery and corruption. To each party, their own special interest groups and their own lobbyists. I can tell you right now, Democrats say they're all for climate change, but in reality, there's definitely a good faction that are still bought and sold by big oil, just like the Republican counterparts. Because when they cave into the lobbyists, they're going to be showered. With a lot of goodies, post congressional, careers. Those candidates lose the election. Guess what? They easily get hired as a lobbyist or as some kind of consultant for that lobbyist. And you know what? And with that comes in a lot, money, power, hungry, blessings for them. And the ones that lose again is the citizenry. It's, the system itself allows for you know, for, you know, coddling with lobbyists with that and getting away with it. That's why we're in a climatological mess.
I was sent to Washington a couple of times by I'm a Democrat now, by a Republican state senator. Good man. He was like a father figure to me. I mean, politics rarely came up, but we did a lot of things. And then I visited our, you know, our political people in Trenton, in bars, you know, not far from the building, and a lot of other states. One guy that really bothers me in particular, I was stationed with Bobby Kennedy in 1968. He wasn't there. He was someplace else. He got shot while I was in that state of where Manchin is from. Hope I'm pronouncing his name. But he's literally all taking money from business groups, mining groups. That's the dirtiest, poorest state in the nation. And that's all you can do is just, you know, get up and huggle with these people. I've seen it in Trenton because I worked in a labor building. I was doing projects with casinos and a railroad and with other states. And I saw them in their drinking holes. I don't drink. I inherited a bar for a while, which was crazy. But we have major problems in our system. There were groups out there once, and I'm not talking, I'm still focusing on independent parties and getting involved. But there used to be groups that would investigate these groups. And I think they got cohorted or whatever, if that's a word or something, because our politics stinks. I mean, I heard a Democratic senator who I really, a congressman, Democratic congressman from Bergen County. And he really shocked me. I overheard a statement that involved a family member, a kid. These guys, they need to wake up and look at themselves in the mirror. I don't know. You know, I've never thought of doing a cross-sexual look at female and male politicians in both parties. But I wonder what the level of criminality is between women and men in government. It's an interesting thing. I don't think anybody would be allowed to test that unless they could go back and look at previous letters. But it's all politics. When we do the voting districts and all that, it's all seemingly worked out. And it doesn't work out to really anybody's benefit. You know, I don't know what we can do. I hope that your parties actually and your citizens get more involved and get involved with taking over these parties. These people that run them, they're just benefiting themselves. That's something I consider morally wrong. You know, you look back, and I look back at Abraham Lincoln and Teddy Roosevelt and maybe even his cousin down in the World War II era. What happened to that kind of leadership? I was involved with JFK and RFK, RFK in his election where he got, he was killed. We need to do more and be better. That's the words they used to say, both of the candidates. We don't seem to be doing more and being better. That kind of wakens me that where are we going to fade like Greece or you know, Rome, Russia China? Seem to be getting away with a lot of things. But I don't want a world war. I want peace. I don't know. Do you catch anything that I said that makes sense?
Yes, it does make sense. And you have to we have to dig deep into why all this happens. You know, foreign policy is a very deep and serious concern for me, especially for my generation and the more younger generation, because if this, you know, if our imperialist antics continue, and God forbid a war breaks out, it is the generation after mine is going to pay a huge price. Because if the situation gets really bad, guess what happens? The old man from the draft board is going to come knocking on the door on these people. And, unfortunately, there goes, their future. They're going to probably end up spending God knows how many years in a conflict in which, you know, which technically there's going to be no winners here. Everyone's going to lose. And, you know, and if you dig deep here, Eisenhower warned us about the, you know, about the consequences or even the dangers of prolonged interventionism in American foreign policy. You know, technically he warned us about the military-industrial complex, you know, in his farewell speech.
Well, you know, I'm going to give you a little take on that. I agree with you. For instance, in the Pacific, the U.S. has put together a thing called the Quad or something. Supposedly,
yeah,
India,
it's a coalition. Yeah, India, Australia, United States, and the United Kingdom.
But what happens, say, with India? They're supposed to be very close to Russia. What happens if they decide, well, we're going to let China go this day, and we're going to go our own way? You know, there are a lot of ifs and buts, and I would have always, my idea would have been to, it's totally off the board, but take a country like Vietnam. I would have incorporated it into the system. Taiwan shouldn't be sitting out there being bombed or whatever is coming its way. I don't believe in war because war just destroys everything. I mean, that, if you look at Ukraine, now the Russians are going in the west, and the head of the country is firing people. I don't know how safe that is. I don't know if that's true, that, you know, some of these people are that corrupt or whatever. War, I would not want to head down to another world war. Yeah, you know, they're devastating, and I don't see anybody coming out of there alive. Well, in any event, you know, we're 50 ships short of the Chinese. That's something to worry about. I don't know how we fulfill our mission. We need you brought up young people. We need a system where people retire out much earlier than 70. You know, Biden might be 80 years old or something when he's in the next term if he should win. And if Trump wins, he's another crazy guy. I mean, we used to laugh at him when he was in New York. He would go on the Tonight Show or the show on CBS. He was a comedian, you know, and his family seems to be a comedian today. We're in serious trouble. You know, I think that we need to take, I'm hoping like you independents get in there and other people that really care about the system also get involved, because this is disgusting. You know, I'll hear about one congressman, he talks to a, you know, the guy on the other side. That's good, but let's get results. Let's get results so that maybe we should have additional parties, you know, that can actually be competitive. I like the model that we had in New York. We never really had it in New Jersey, but we need something like that to counter the forces of other, you know, other organizations. I babble too much, so it's your turn.
Yeah, well, I don't know if bringing in more parties is somewhat of an idea, because I do see some potential viable alternate parties that are rising up, such as SAM, known as Serb American Movement, the Forward Party, which is another alternate party that's getting a lot of attention, which is being coordinated by a former Democratic candidate, Andrew Yang, and then the other party that's seeing somewhat attention, especially on social media, is the Movement for People's Party. You know, these are some what I would call rising stars for now. You know, they're still in the works. I think Sam, though, has picked up a lot more speed in gaining some recognition, you know, across the country. I think New York State had a SAM candidate in the previous gubernatorial election. They are very catered well to, their main target is disenfranchised moderates. The party was actually founded by former Bush administration staff members. They're very vocal about voting rights right now, and they're very vocal about the dysfunctionality of the two-party system. Same with the Forward Party. The platforms are not bad at all. I haven't done full homework yet. But for those who are very anti-war, I do see that. I would say the Movement for People's Party would be a good spot, a good place for them. You know, there's also, you know, there's been a lot of speculation of, you know, this is how badly disenfranchised were. There's a lot of speculation going on that former Governor Jesse Ventura could be throwing his hat in the ring in 2024, but that is not, you know, it's still, you know, unknown yet. But there's been a there's been a recent movement, you know, what we call the Draft Jesse, you know, to run for, you know, potentially, you know, President of the United States. And, you know, there's also been a lot of, you know, social media memes coming in regarding such a potential run. And just remember, this guy, you know, won the gubernatorial election in the 90s in the state of Minnesota, you know, and was not a Republican or a Democrat in an election that it was a midterm election that that sent Jaws, you know, dropping. So there's actually a YouTube video.
I think you're right. I should say something. Let me ask you about one party that I'm going to probably misname the name. It was the Lincoln Party. You remember that? I don't know if that's still around. It was a couple of, you know, in the last election or something against Trump-type candidates. They were Republicans.
It was the Lincoln Project.
That's not a party.
They're an advocacy group.
Okay, what did you think about that?
Lincoln Project? I am not sure. I don't trust them, but they, you know, they do have some pretty good points in when it comes to the issue of fascist, you know, politicians. But unfortunately, this organization has been embattled lately because of outside scandals, which resulted in the pretty much loss of trust. There's been a few high staff members there who have been, I think they got arrested for outside scandals, got in trouble. But the Lincoln Project, I don't trust them overall because they're starting to act a little more hyper-partisan.
I actually
look like
the election.
They're Don Lemon's light, as I would say.
Yeah. When you say Don Lemon, what you're talking about, the guy on CNN. Is he,
and,
now? How do you describe him in your eyes? What do you see from him?
You know, as I said, this, you know, the most dangerous, you know, form of indoctrination I am seeing right now. Not just the, you know, CNN, but, you know, Fox News, MSNBC, InfoWars, is this new theorem of false equivalency in which journalists, political pundits are on TV, you know, folks like Tucker Carlson, Rachel Maddow, Tommy Lahren, Don Lemon, name it. They sweep the dirt from their party under the rug, and just literally gaslight people into saying that this is the only party that represents you. You know, let's say Tucker Carlson or Tommy Lahren, they're spewing their little ideology that the demon rats Democrats, they're not your party. And that they, that they want to take your rights away, and that they're, a bunch of commies, and Antifas, and I don't know, whatever comes out of their, imaginary worlds. While the other side, like say Don Lemon's Rachel Maddow, their false equivalence theory is the opposite. Their rhetoric is, Democrats champion you, they care about you, they're your saviors. Unlike the Republicans, only the Republicans do this, only the Republicans do that. Well, they sweep all the dirt under the rug, and that, my friends, is not even a news talk show. That is a partisan pep rally, and, you know, it's become a problem because just very, very few people are trusting, you know, the cable news.
Well,
and even
the media in both, you know, both areas is totally distorted. I remember I liked Chris Wallace. I didn't always agree with his. I didn't agree with most of his politics, but I read his books. You know, he did a book on war, and he's written some other stuff. And then he left the network because it was really too crazy. And in Lemon, I don't know. You're going to agree with this, but I always thought the governor's brother. You remember from the what was his name? Cuomo.
Chris Cuomo.
Yeah. Now I know he did some stupid things, womanizing and everything else. But I know that he saved Lemon's ass a couple of times. I don't know if that counts in anything in the world, but Lemon was the one that, unless maybe the network or whatever you call that concoction, pushed him to actually attack that guy every day. So I don't even know where he is. He's probably not working anymore. Neither is his brother, for that matter. He's no longer the governor. But I don't like the way the system picks up and chews people up. You know, I see a guy in Texas, Beto, for instance. I don't know if he's all that good or popular or whatever. He came out of New York City anyway. I want to see the old man from Texas gone. What's your take on Beto and that race with the Texas senator?
I'm going to say it's technically going to be a toss-up, and it's actually going to be very polarizing. Abbott has not done, you know, a good job, especially with what happened in the winter of 2021 when there was, you know, this massive outage as a result of an ice storm, if I'm correct, or freezing temperatures, and then the recent, the handling of the Uvalde school massacre. But I think that due to the, stringent, partisan loyalty, Texas is one of those states that continues to suppress voters. And, of course, the historical, not much historical, but long-term partisan loyalty, it looks like he might get reelected, but by very razor-thin margins. But even if Beto O'Rourke became governor-elect, there's not much to celebrate because he's going to have to still deal with a safe red majority in possibly both chambers. So if he wants to tell the Texas Assembly, to enact, the policies that he's been running on, he's going to have a very, very difficult time. And I think that what Texas need to do is they have to, vote for someone who probably at least either compromise with Beto or who is a full ally of Beto. But then, because of the suppressive, electoral policies in that Lone Star State, O'Rourke's it's going to be a long day for him dealing with what could be another 4 years of safe red, safe red assembly majority. Same with Kentucky. People are, celebrating that they got a Democrat governor in, but what they don't know is that chamber, which is still red majority, is still giving Beshear a hard time. You can't just put in, let's say, an independent president and still have a dysfunctional Congress. No, that's not how it works. No. And it's not, just
limits their ability to rule. I don't want to use the term rule, but to carry on politics as a good sport or a thing that can actually raise a state or a country. Texas has been doing this so long. I don't even remember when this guy came into Texas as a. Seems like he's been around forever. I hope I hope that there is a change in some of these states, because I would hate to see this thing go on more progressive. I don't mean progressive in a positive sense, but, you know, some of these states are just too wacky. You know, Texas is one, and, you know, going up, you know, some of the other states are just way out of it in the world of things. On abortion. I was going to do that. I was supposed to have it. I guess they blew me off. But it seems I'm a Catholic, but I believe a woman has the right to have an abortion. Because, would I have one? Most likely not. It's probably impossible. But the way that this has been done, to me, this and other things, is not normal anymore. We're not operating. There used to be differences in the court, but they got along. They worked things out. This is now just a bad day where I don't know if the results are worth it.
They're a perfect example of how well the two-party system is working against the citizenry. It is a two-party system that gave us a Trump presidency. The previous, you know, administrations have ignored the citizenry, and their neglect led to Trump's rising. We're also seeing the fact that the dysfunctional Supreme Court is also a mere symptom of the two-party system that John Adams has warned us. For hundreds of years, we failed to heed this warning. It looks like we're getting what we're deserving. You know, what happened, you know, in late June was just a big hyper-partisan, you know, circus. I respect, you know, those people who say that, you know, reproductive justice, you know, is, you know, immoral, but they need to really take a look outside the box. While the issue is somewhat major, I do not want to say it's the tip of the iceberg, but seeing the overthrow of Roe v. Wade might set a deadly precedent that could also attack civil liberties of conservatives as well. There was actually a column that was posted. I'm not know if it's on the Washington Post or other major newspaper that talked about how the Supreme Court's overthrow might threaten overturning Roe threatens rights conservatives hold dear, and this was written the week before the verdict. This was written by an academic professor, and it talks about how such an overthrow puts a dangerous precedent for almost the entire citizenry. You know, the next thing you know, they might, you know, overturn a case that involves freedom of speech. Another day, they might overthrow, you know, a ruling that might involve, you know, freedom of the press, so forth. To me, this issue is more about the 14th Amendment, more about the First Amendment. We're seeing religion being cherry-picked, you know, and our forefathers, again, you know, knew the dangers of cherry-picking and playing favorites with a religion over another. That's a no-no. It's really concerning.
Now I'm going to tell you something. A family member of mine, a blood family member, he was putting bullets in a gun, a shotgun, and the gun went off and hit me as I was going up, you know, a cement wall or some kind of highly glass wall. I don't know if that was an accident or not, because he was always a loony. But I'm worried with that the court is helping and abetting these guns. I mean, I'm worried for other people that get shot. And that Texas thing was just brutal. And the thing up in Buffalo where the black seniors were shot, I find that, I can't even come up with a proper word. What's going on?
On that note, unfortunately, we have to start wrapping up. We have around 4 minutes left to go, and I'd love it if you guys could share your contact information, and this will be a to be continued.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, my contact number, of course, 201-916-9285 for future FAQs, which is frequently asked questions. My email, of course, javileq12@gmail.com. Would love to talk a little more about this. Time's almost up here. We only got 5 minutes. But all I can say here is, and once again, of course, to anyone here in the Garden State, please put pressure on the governor because we have this travesty of a bill that's in his desk. Not only put pressure on the governor, put pressure on your local council members so that they too can push the governor and tell him to veto this legislation that was passed near unanimous by both parties in both chambers. A3820 S2869, this is literally a declaration of hostility to unaffiliated voters by the New Jersey Democratic Party. And of course, no false equivalency here. This bill is also going to benefit Republicans as well and sets a dangerous precedence in the near future. This is literally a shuttering of voting rights, simply because we don't want to be in a party. We don't want to be in a party, but you know what? This pressure has to go on. And you can easily find the governor's office contact, call them, call your state legislators, even give it a shot calling it your local congressman. Congresspersons, to pressure the veto and deliver condemnation to these people who disregarded our democracy and a democratic process through the passing of this bill. 2.4 million of us are very important for the midterms, for the gubernatorial elections, even local elections. I've also soon, hopefully, will be testifying before the town council about this. I have won some minds from my local council over the issue of not just open primaries, but nonpartisan election reform. This is our system. This is our electoral system, not the parties. We're the ones who help operate this system, not them. We should have more say than the political parties. The political party should only be the minor player. The real say is us, especially the independent voter.
Thank you very much. You're very articulate. Sue is an excellent guest. You're also an excellent guest on this issue, and you will be invited back. Bill, would you like to share your contact info in the few seconds we have left?
I'm on Facebook. I do a lot about world issues, the war with Ukraine and Russia. I'm on LinkedIn. I do a lot of teaching, basically, to some students from Fordham, where I went to school, and dealing with friends in industry and manufacturing. So you can find me in those two things, and I'm in newspapers occasionally.
Oh, we'll look forward to that. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Have a wonderful evening. I wish you success in all your endeavors, and I look forward to our next conversation. Thanks to everybody who joined us at home. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journey amazing adventures, and of course, liberty. Take care. Good night.
Good night.